Hey, welcome back to the podcast. This episode is actually one I did on Ruby's podcast, and go and check that out. We'll leave the link in the description. This episode was good. Every time you, Ruby, and I get together and chat, it's always a good time. So check out this episode. Let me know what golden nuggets you find. Go and check out Ruby's podcast for sure. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy it.
Hello, and welcome back to 100% Real with Ruby. Today, we have Pot Who with John, and I'm not even going to try to butcher his last name because my accent will probably just like make it a Vlahogiannakos.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Ooh, it sounds very Greek.
Yeah, pretty Greek.
Pretty Greek. So, as you know, us wogs like our food, don't we? Like, we like our food because I'm wog as well. So, This just kind of just spurred me into a completely different tangent of where I want to take this. Is we feel like we can't enjoy our food at the same time as making changes. We feel like, okay, so food is my life. I enjoy food. I have a bad relationship with food, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, it's not about per se restricting foods in that sense. It's more so as you gather the skills and the momentum, and as you start to do uncomfortable shit in the short term, you start to change the way that you respond to food cues. You start to respond differently to the idea of food. Like, it doesn't become something where you feel like it's an on or off switch, but you start to realize there are trade-offs for things. And on the last part of what we spoke about, it was mainly me rambling on about how shit gets crazy. And if you fall to the level of your lowest floor, it's going to be the stories you tell yourself around food, the stories you tell yourself around how hard it is, the stories you tell yourself around this is where John's actually really great in what he does as a family man, the stories that you tell yourself around family commitments, kid commitments, and the fact that family comes first, but does it really if you're not putting yourself first? Does it really if you're not being disciplined enough to plan ahead, to do things that are uncomfortable, to make shit easier for you to be present with the family? So I guess that's a really good way to put this into the direction of get uncomfortable to allow some flexibility.
Well, I mean, in terms of the family thing, I think what's been comfortable for people is the lowest barrier option, which is just going with the flow with no plan. And honestly, a lot of the times what I've seen is letting the kids dictate what's going to be, you know, on the menu. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes parents make is your kids shouldn't be dictating what your family's eating. Just because your kid wants McDonald's or any other fast food or whatever kids want to eat doesn't mean that you have to kind of give them what they want. I think, you know, as the adults in the family, like, you're the boss. And if you have a goal for yourself, you need to set the precedent of this is the plan. And, you know, if your kid doesn't like it, that's too bad. Like, if it was up to my five-year-old, we'd be having nachos and pizza and God knows what else every single night. So why is that any different than kind of letting your kids dictate, oh, if things get crazy, oh, let's just do this. So you're falling back on old habits and not doing, as Ruby said, not doing the uncomfortable shit of like having a plan ahead of time, whether it's packing a protein shake or whether it's, you know, stopping yourself and saying, no, we're not going to go and grab fast food on the way home. We have stuff at home that we can eat instead.
And it's that structure that actually creates freedom, which people don't see. They feel like structure is just like it's something that keeps them chained to something, but it's like, no. It's this structure that allows you to feel confident in everything that you're doing because you're able to have both things coexist. And because you spoke about this and I said that I wanted to talk about it, which I haven't done the reel yet, is it's not just about being 100% consistent, because we can be consistent, but where is that consistency? Is it at the same effort level that you started with? And I'm sure you come across this a lot. We start off at 120% or 110% and we're starting to see amazing results. And like if we're setting our intentions from a very motivated place, we can keep pushing that and sometimes push it a little harder and see results. And then we want more results until we hit a burnout, and then we're still staying consistent, but at 20%. And then we're wondering why we're not seeing results while we're going backwards. It's like, yeah, you're showing up, but are you showing up with the same same intensity in terms of your effort, which looks different every day? So bring that into the perspective of how we see this as a dial, not an on and off switch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if we're going to keep on the family trend of like when things get crazy, there always will be a dial in there. And even with the structure, like if you have kids and you're listening to this, you'll know that in an instant, your entire plan or structure will fall. That doesn't mean that you have to do anything differently necessarily, whether it's planning for a workout or planning for food. It just means that you have to pivot. Where it's not like, it's not an on and off switch. It's not because things didn't go according to plan. Oh, okay. Let's flip the switch. You know, screw it today. We'll try again on Monday or whatever it is. It's like, no, okay. Well, maybe you had the dial at 100 and then something happened with the family. So you have to turn the dial down to 40. You know, you're still doing something in line with what you want to achieve. Just because things don't go your way doesn't mean you have to turn it all the way off. And then good luck trying to turn it all the way back on again. And it becomes this battle of like, are you on a plan? Are you working towards the goal or are you not? Because if you keep flipping on and off switch, I'd say you're not on a plan. I think you're just kind of doing things randomly is what I would call that.
Yeah. And I want to make this a very family episode, actually, because I feel like a lot of people, they don't realize that you can never be one, like you can never actually be 100%. It's literally the most impossible thing that you can get, even when you don't have a family, let alone when you have a family. And not expecting failure is the shortcut to failure, because things will never go to plan when you have kids. And that's why you need to learn to be flexible with that. Like when I say things will never go to plan, I mean like the plan that you have in mind will go to plan until it doesn't. And we let that dictate our worth, dictate, okay, I'm not feeding back into the topic that I want you to talk about is, okay, so things aren't going perfect right now. And I can't actually stick to things and get my money's worth, which I feel like a lot of people attach it to, is I don't feel like I can get my money's worth. This is not even just if we're our coaches, or if you're with another coach, or whatever it is that you're doing in life. When you feel it as, I'm not getting my money's worth of this, I might as well just put it on hold, that is when you start to go backwards, because you're clearly not even staying still. You're not realizing that this is not something you turn on and off. This is something that you need to learn to make part of your life, because shit's always going to happen, especially when you have kids.
Well, I mean, and if you're not making the financial investment and you're using that as like the thread that's holding you onto this journey, I mean, what is it going to look like when you eventually don't have a coach? Because, you know, at some point in your fitness journey, you're not going to have one. So how are you supposed to navigate it then if you're holding on to financials now and saying, oh, well, I'm not putting on my best effort, so why am I paying for a coach? Well, that's the moment where you need to step up. And this might be some tough love. This might be hard for people to hear, but when you're in a moment of like, well, I haven't done what I need to do, what am I paying for? You're paying for accountability. And if you haven't talked to your coach about how you're feeling, I think that's first step. But the second step is the minute you feel like you're not doing enough, do more. Like literally is the only answer is to do more. And that doesn't mean, you know, go super full restrictive diet or do hours of cardio. It's literally just like, okay, what if it's for me, it's 7:30 at night right now. What is my do more right now for me? Making sure I get enough water for the rest of the day, make sure I get enough protein for the rest of the day, go to bed on time and kickstart those good habits into what am I doing tomorrow morning? And I'm planning for tomorrow. And it's literally that simple. It's not easy, but it is that simple. When you feel like you're not doing enough, just do the little bit more. What do you think, Ruby?
You said something so fucking good. people feel like if they're not actively losing weight, that they're not making any progress.
Yeah.
And they literally just tie their progress to dieting. If they're not on a diet, they're not doing anything. And when you said, there was something you said that I loved, and that was when you said, it's 7:30 and I can still, like, you haven't hit your protein, have you?
No.
There you go. Like, so, especially when you have a history of dieting and a history of less is better or whatever it is, it's almost like 6 p.m. comes, you have dinner, whatever time you have dinner, and it's almost like your day ends there. And it's like, I haven't hit my protein. It's 7:30. You can still get in a protein shake. I haven't hit my carbs. Well, it depends on what phase you're in, because it might be okay if you're a little bit under, if you're in a fat loss phase. But the thing is, are you going to keep, it's not the premise of, like, the reason why this gets really tough to bring into the whole, we don't want you obsessive with the macro tracking. It gets tough because it's like, okay, but what precedent are you setting? Is it, oh, it doesn't matter if I slip up one day, blah, blah, blah. That's one element of it. But then the other is, okay, well, now you're going to realize that you didn't have everything you need to have this day, so you're going to use that as your scapegoat for, I can go over the next day. Or you might be hungrier the next day and then completely blow it because you didn't eat enough the day before. So it's something where it's like, you need to realize that it's not just trying not to be obsessive, it's that there's a cascade effect from every single decision that you make, and the mindset more than anything behind it, because the mindset behind it will have you spiraling more than the physical aspect itself.
Absolutely. That's what I was just going to say. Like, it all depends on everyone's experience. Like, for me, at 7:30 PM, I'm not stressed because I know what it'll take for me to hit at least my protein goal. For someone else who's an on off switch type of person, if it's 7:30 and they're like, well, I don't want to have a protein shake, even though I know I need to hit my protein goal, right then and there, you're losing the battle with yourself. Right. And it's not even a macro obsessive thing. It's literally just like, you know, deep down what is on your program, what is on your plan, what you should be doing. Every time you fight yourself on what you should do, you're setting yourself up for wanting to just give up, because you're fighting this internal battle. Your subconscious, you're it's almost like you're losing a battle every time. So it becomes a negative thing every night. If you have this discussion with yourself every night of like, oh, I should have a protein shake, but I don't want to, I should do this, becomes I shoulds all the time. No action is being taken. It leads to like that, what we just talked about. Well, I'm not doing enough. What am I even doing? Maybe I should stop for a while until it gets easier. 6 months will pass and your life will look even more hectic. I can pretty much guarantee you that.
And it, like, why, I'll say what I say and then I'll get you to say it as well, but why does life get more hectic? It's because you haven't learned, or you're using a coach just for weight loss, one. But number two is you haven't learned how to not use a coach for weight loss, how to use them for maintenance. And even if you don't have a coach, you haven't learned to keep doing the shit when shit gets tough. Because if you don't learn to manage life in it, what exactly are you doing this for? Because I thought the goal is to make this a lifestyle, not to make it like an end date and then what? Like, look around you and look at the diet industry these days. Like, honestly, get realistic and look at all the products that are marketed. Look at the surplus of them these days, and all this, like, you probably, if you're listening to this and you don't really have that much education on this stuff, where it's like, yeah, I know that's a gimmick, you can at least tell that there are a lot more supplements coming out. There are a lot more products, a lot more promises and things on TV that they market to you. That is never going away. It's expanding because people keep looking for quick fixes because they haven't learned how to involve it into their family life. And because you deal with a lot of family stuff, maybe you can relate that to how you can find that dimmer switch where it's like, it's not just about dieting, because it's about dieting less, living more, and actually getting more results. It's not about one or the other, where you can have your body or not have your body at all because you're not dieting. Actually get your body by dieting less.
Yeah. I think it's the mindset that people go into things, right? It's they've used to dieting so many times in their life and trying different products, or maybe they've had crappy coaches in the past, so they go into it with the same mentality that they used to have. We try to get them out of it. That's the biggest thing, is if you take on a client who's a constant yo-yo dieter, or said 10 plus years of trying to diet down, it takes a lot of unlearning on their end, reprogramming on ours to understand, like, look, we're really just going to focus on how to navigate and manage life. And here's how we're going to approach food from now on. There is no end date. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days, but all of these days add up in compound. Like when I talk to clients lately, especially, we talk about a big six: calories, protein, movement, sleep, water, and stress management. I think it's the last one. So if those six things, say some days you'll go 6 for 6, you'll have a perfect day, whatever perfect is for you. Some days you might get only two of them right. You might get your steps in, and you might get your water in. Might not have a lot of protein some days. That doesn't mean you're off plan. That doesn't mean you're a terrible person. It doesn't mean you're not going to see the results you want. It's navigating these different aspects of life. And then we'll dig into, what led to you not getting those four rocks that you missed. How can we improve on those things? I think a lot of the times it's like, people think it's just about food and workouts. It's not even close. Like, workouts are important. Nutrition's important, but how you approach everything is way more important. Like Ruby said, like, stresses are going to come up. Kids are stress. Like if you have multiple of them, it's even more stress and more things can happen. Random pickups in the middle of the day, things will happen that you don't want to or don't expect to. It doesn't mean that your plan goes to hell. It doesn't mean you won't see results. It doesn't mean you can't move forward because something kind of threw a wrench in your plan. It's use the dimmer switch. Okay, what can I do still today that's going to help me tomorrow for the life I want to build, not just the body? It's because these things will happen again and again. So if you hit them head on first and stop trying to avoid the stress, maybe you were talking about roundabouts versus like just speed bumps. The roundabouts of kids' stress continues until they move out. Yeah. And even then, I'm sure there's other ones. So navigating them, trying to manage the best you can, it's all you can do because you can't run away. They're that's it. Like they're there. You got to learn how to deal, but also prioritize yourself, your health, because if you're not operating at a higher level, you're not getting rest, you're not getting enough proper amount of calories, you're not exercising, you're not going to be able to manage these stresses because you internally are still fighting with your own shit. So how are you supposed to help manage someone else's? You know what I mean? Is that making sense?
Yeah, like, how do you expect? You might feel like you're spending time with the kids, but you're not, because you're not in a quality place yourself. That's something that I see a lot as well. And not just that, it's what you said, like, this is for life. And how can you do this and see yourself living this full life? And if you don't realize that you are living a life with other things in the picture, like you're not a lab rat, other things impact you on a day-to-day basis, and like you aren't a solo in it. There are interactions socially, physically online, physically in person, like all these different things that can influence your emotions, your decisions, your behaviors, your actions. And if you don't, back to the topic, if you don't learn how to shift your focus to other toggles that you might need to focus on now, like for example, if something happens out of the blue and now all of a sudden you can't focus on what your original intent was with your coach, your program, your approach, whatever it is, it's not about saying, okay, well now this needs to go on hold completely because I'm not going to get my money's worth or my attention worth or my investment, mental, whatever the investment is. I just say money because money is the most thing you can think of for investment. But I'm not going to get my investments worth of this. So then I'm just going to keep trying to survive versus learn how to thrive in this environment where thriving looks different in every situation, because in this situation, the thriving is more so, okay, so how can I do the minimal effective dose to look after myself in this moment right now so I can still show up and not actually go backwards? Because if you take this break and stop focusing on yourself for so long, what's to say you're going to start again?
It's true. What is to say you're going to start again? Usually what happens is life gets too hectic. You go on hold and then you completely deprioritize yourself while just saying it's a temporary thing. In most cases, 3 months will go by, 6 months will go by. I might have the same conversation with someone the following year and saying like, look, like I let myself go. I couldn't handle it all. And if you look back, you'll kick yourself, because if you just put in, like you said, minimal effective dose, it doesn't take superheroes worth of effort to make little changes every single day or to navigate life's stresses. Like over the last 2 years, there's been a lot of shit that pops up. There's been mud. There's tough things happen. We're all still here. A lot of us are still, we all go through our own things, but what makes it different for you than for me? I think, like, and not just you, Ruby, anyone listening to this, like, what is different about you showing up in your journey versus me showing up in mine when I have my stresses and you have yours? I'm not doing anything extraordinary with my life day to day. I'll tell you that much. People think like there's secret hacks and habits and secret shortcuts that the pro fit pros are doing. It's not it. It's literally just, we hammer down the basics. We try to be as consistent as possible. And as you said, you learn to navigate. If I had to pick up my son midday and I was planning for a workout, either that workout gets shifted to another day or I have to do it in a shorter fashion. Like it just becomes things like that, where just because if something throws in the way, doesn't mean my whole day goes to hell. Doesn't mean I have to put things on pause. It doesn't mean that things change throughout the journey. I'm still on the same path. I'm still moving forward. But the minute you say I'm not getting my money's worth, that's where you have to look internally. Like I said earlier, it's what are you doing about it? Because as coaches, we can guide you. We can push you. We can only push you so far. You have to put in the work. So if you feel like things aren't working the way I need them to, or I'm not getting my money's worth, well, you're not putting in the work to get your money's worth, because I'm sure your coach is still there for you. So if you're the type of person to shell up and really close off when things get stressful, you need to change that. If you have a coach, use your coach, talk to your coach. Like holding on to things and going, ghost for 2 weeks is not going to help you. It's not going to help you move forward. It's not going to help you stay the same. Even I think you're going to go backwards. So communicating to me is another big thing that we haven't really talked about, is like, if you have a coach or support group or anything, use them. Use them as much as you possibly can, as much as they'll allow you to, because if you're never going to express what's going on, how do you expect someone to help you? If you can't do it yourself and you're not talking about it, where does that lead you?
Yeah, I think that's the hottest part. It's actually realizing that you don't have to have all the answers, that it's okay to reach out. And that's what a lot of people don't do. They try to knuckle through it and I'll just keep trying to do what I do and accept that I can only be 70%. Like there's two different spectrums where people are okay with being 70%, but they're not willing to reach out for help on how they can actually maximize what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to toggle it, because that's one scenario that I see. I'm just going to keep trying to do this because I can't handle the stress eating. So I'm going to deal with the fact that my eating isn't going to be perfect. And I'm just going to try to do the bare minimum. It's like, but how can we work through this? They're not willing to talk about that stuff. But on the other spectrum, it's completely going zero, which I also say, I want to see how you would toggle both of those. But in that, it's what you said with what is your definition of progress as well, which is something you said where if I'm not doing this, I don't feel like you said, actually, no, the way you said it was, I'm doing this and I'm still seeing progress, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you're seeing progress and you're going forward because of your perception of what forward is. But you would see that as, no, I'm going backwards because I'm not ticking all these boxes. So there's three different things for you to touch on there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're always going to have boxes to check off, but it doesn't mean you have to have, I think the biggest thing is, it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to have a perfect journey. And I think the minute you accept that, it should be a lot easier because you just take down the expectations a little bit, because I think that's what leads to most people's problem. And most people quitting, giving up or being unhappy for years on end is they think they have to be perfect. A, to start, well, I have to get in shape to get a coach. Well, that's ass backwards. And then they think that it has to be perfect circumstances every single day. I have to eat perfectly and train perfectly and nothing can go wrong, which I don't think I've ever witnessed that in anyone's life ever, let alone a fitness journey. So then the minute things are not perfect, they give up, or they give up for a weekend and start again on Monday. And it starts this cycle of on off switch that we keep talking about. It's like, you're not going to toggle every box every day, every week. Like you might have some consistent weeks and you're hitting that 90-100%, and that's great. But you have to also understand that there's going to be times where you hit like I said, you check off a couple boxes a day for a week, but you're not making excuses for it, but you're also not badgering yourself for it. I think it's a tough place to be in, where it's almost like sometimes it feels like you're accepting that you're doing a little bit, but also knowing that that little bit is way better than nothing at all and going completely backwards. Little is always going to be better than nothing. And living in the little, sometimes you just have to. Like, I've had a client where for 2 weeks straight, like, everything was a mess. And then she, you know, just pushed through. We talked about it. We pushed through. And then this past week was her best week she's had in a month. And that's the fitness journey. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, and you have to learn how to navigate them, because they're always going to be there. But don't expect perfection, I think, is the one thing I can say there.
No, there was something else you said there that I think is more important. And that was where you said you have to learn how to manage them. And that's what a lot of people aren't willing to do, because they're either happy with being completely on, completely off, or literally just swiping it aside as, now I'll just do the best that I can, but they don't align their expectations with the commitment they're willing to give. But they don't realize, which is what I was trying to get out of this point with doing a little, yeah, but that little isn't going to serve you long term if you're not willing to learn how to manage these. Because yeah, doing a little is fine if you learn how to manage it in the process, not just keep falling back to the littlest thing you can do every single time it happens, because you're never going to get to where you want to be that way. You need to learn how to stay moving forward in the direction that you want to go whilst doing a little, not just doing a little and then wondering why you're not getting to where you want to be and staying stuck there, because shit's always going to keep happening.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I miss, is like doing a little, but not letting that little become like your new norm is the biggest thing. Like, you fall back on that. Oh, I can only do this. Or yeah, but I can only, that's when it's a problem. Like you mentioned, I think that you talked about that earlier, is like you're letting yourself go. You're swiping it to the side instead of, okay, but it's been 3 weeks. Why is it happening that it can't be more than just this little bit? What is preventing you from improving, from thriving, instead of constantly feeling like you're surviving? And I think it is tough for a lot of people. That's where tough conversations need to be had, I think, is number one. But also, like, why do you want to do it? What is the reason that you want to lose body fat, get in shape, get stronger, have more energy? Like, it's easy to say we want to do these things. So yeah, I'd love to drop 15 pounds. Sure. Okay, but why? What is pushing you to want to do this? And I think we all need a constant reminder at times of, like, what is the reason we're doing this? Because sometimes we forget. And sometimes that'll push you back into kind of a reality. But I think you're right. It's not letting that little bit become the new norm, where that little bit becomes the reason you can't get the results you want, because you're just letting it be, oh, that's all I can do right now. And then months go by and you haven't really done much.
Yeah. What are you letting become your normal? Where I think a lot of people like it when we relate to examples. So where do you see this show up with people, especially within the family environment, and how do we make this practical for people?
Well, I think a lot of the times it happens with, I work predominantly with mothers when they have, you know, work stress and home stress and kid stress, and they're flying by the seat of their pants. Like, it's, have you ever had a day where you just kind of, from the minute you wake up, you feel like you're playing catch up? That's what some of these moms are living, day in, day out, where it becomes like just a laundry list of tasks for them to do all day long, where their workouts never fit in there because they're never prioritized. Meals become kind of just whatever the kids want. Sleep is all over the place. Hydration's not there because, again, it's a daily struggle of playing catch up, reacting to everything instead of, like, you know, just stop for a second. And I love that you said it on the Instagram live. It's like, you don't have to do the laundry right now. Just pause. Just stop. You don't. Like, I had a client, I had to tell her, like, you don't have to do laundry 4 days a week. Absolutely not. Your kids aren't going to care. I'm sure as hell your spouse won't care. But I think that's the biggest thing, is they're in this reactive state all the time where they're not making time for themselves. They're not stopping to breathe and think of like, what am I really doing in this moment? It's just reacting to this and reacting to that. And they're always kind of moving, but they're never really doing anything productive in their health and fitness. It's just whatever kind of gets thrown at them, that's what they do. To me, that's the biggest thing I've seen. So it's tough conversations to have, but to get them to stop, map out time for themselves, like non-negotiable, like you have to tell your family this is mommy time, then that's what you have to do. Because at the end of the day, if you never make the time for yourself, if you never confront what's been going on, either you talk to your spouse or whatever, it's never going to change. Then, and that's how I see it. I think communication in the household is a big, big thing. Whether you talk to your kids, your spouse, whatever, you need to make time for yourself or you'll never have it. Especially as a parent, especially as a mother. I think mothers have it harder. Because you're always going to be reacting. You're always going to be there to take care of the kids. And what I hear with moms is I've taken care of everyone my whole life and I let myself go. And now it's time to take care of me. So that's that, it's that reprogramming of like, for years on end, sometimes 10, 20 years, it's like everyone else has been the priority instead of themselves. So this is where we talk about mapping out time for yourself, not being reactive to everyone else and what they're doing. It's like, okay, what do I need to do for me? And some people are like, that's selfish. And yeah, it is, because you have to be selfish. If you're not selfish, you're never going to thrive. If I don't prioritize my workouts, my nutrition, my sleep, I show up as a worse version of the father me and the husband version of me and the coach version of me. And then everyone in those relationships then suffer because I can't give them my best. So for anyone listening to this, like, you need to be selfish. Prioritize your health, prioritize your sleep, your eating, your workouts, your movement. Because when you do, everyone else that's attached to you will benefit.
That's the part that no one else says. It's like, I'm prioritizing all these other things. It's like, no, you're not, because you aren't even prioritizing you. And something you said there, which was really powerful, is time will never just magically appear. You need to make it for yourself. You need to prioritize it. And that's exactly why I said, you need to choose your hard. You're okay. It's freaking hard to plan your meals out and to have a structure with your meals. But sometimes that's exactly what you need to have freedom in other areas to do what you want to do. And I can't say this enough, but you don't need to do every single freaking house chore every bloody day, every bloody week. Like, you only need to probably vacuum and mop once a week or once a fortnight, like, depending on your house. Like, there are certain things that you don't need to do every single day. Like, you don't need to do the laundry every single day. You can do that twice a week. You can do one big bundle once a week.
Yeah, like, once a week is more than enough.
Yeah, once a week is plenty. Like, what unrealistic standards are you having upon yourself, and why do you feel like you need to do them, and why aren't you asking yourself these questions?
Yeah, and it's what I alluded to last time, is you're letting those things get in the way because they're easier to do. As you said, like, you have to choose your hard. Well, I mean, doing the laundry is not a fun task, but it's easier than sitting down to plan your meals out. If planning your meals out sounds like something you don't want to do, well, for the last 10 years, you haven't wanted to plan your meals out. You haven't wanted to track a calorie. You haven't wanted to work out consistently. And now it's going to be even harder than ever. So yeah, you're going to have to choose the hard route, but the hard stuff now becomes just a part of life down the road. That's the thing. It's hard to start, but you have to start, because if you never do, it's always going to be hard. And it's always going to be this impossible thing that you're never going to be able to do because you've never tackled it head on for a consistent period of time. Because it starts off hard, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months of the same habit. It's not, you don't even think about it anymore. It just becomes a part of your day. Like, Sunday meal prep here is a walk in the park. We know what we're doing. Kids know what we're doing. It's just a thing that we do. It's not hard. The only thing that comes in the way of that is like holidays, if we have Easter Sunday or whatever. But
wait, you said something important there.
Yeah.
A lot of the time we put it on ourselves with our own perception, saying, oh no, I can't do this because that means I'm not putting the family first. I'm not putting the kids first. I'm not doing this for this. It's like, yeah, but those are your thoughts. That is your perception. And of course it's going to be that way now, because you're doing something you've never done before, that no one's ever had to deal with you doing before. So it's normal that you are going to have to get used to as a family, and that's okay. And like with the meal prep thing as well, it's just like, it's as hard as you make it. It doesn't get as hard as you want it to, but you need to realign your expectations with the commitment that you're willing to put in, because you can make shit easier. But at the same time, what's the trade-off? Like, if you make it really easy and you just throw really, like, get small containers together, it's like, they're small containers, you're not going to feel full after that. Like, if it's really small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trade-off. The other trade-off is, okay, you're just going to put together the most asked stuff that might be over your calorie limit, that might set you overboard. So, and it's almost like, okay, so you're willing to plan this meal and this meal, but you still want to have this in the picture. You need to be willing to know that you aren't going to get the results that you want to get by having both of those factors in place, but that's okay, knowing that it's okay right now, because you're actually you're taking steps to move forward, and that hard of trying to make it something that's more structured will become more structured over time as you get better at the things that you just started doing. Like, trying to master all of the things to get 100%. And yeah, it might mean that you might not get all the results that you want right now, but the thing is, have you ever got them before? No, because you want to have all the results right now and you're too scared of maybe going backwards a little. I said maybe, because 99% of the time you won't go backwards, but then there's that slight chance that you might. So if you do, you need to be okay with that, because it's only going backwards to then go forwards. And that's something people can't understand, because they're too freaking scared of failing.
What? It doesn't have to be, you said it doesn't have to be that hard. Like with meal prep, for example, like, people ask me what they should be eating when they start the program. And I said, look, I want you to eat how you would eat. You eat. I want to analyze for a week how you eat, because then I can help you. I can't arbitrarily tell you what to eat. You need to pick what to eat, because you're the one making this decision here. And all I suggest usually in the beginning is just meal prep a bunch of protein. Just keep it friggin' simple. Because once you do that, I don't know anybody personally that will cook a bunch of protein, prep it, and not eat it. That's expensive, for one. For two, you know, if you cook the food, you're going to eat the food. And batch cooking protein to me is one of the lowest barrier things someone can do. And going back to the family thing, I think one of the issues that parents have is kids don't like change. Like, you think adults don't like change? Kids are worse. Like, I had to argue with my 5-year-old 5-6 times this week already about still wearing his winter stuff because it's still cold and it's supposed to be spring, but it's not, whatever. Parents don't want to have the butt heads with their kids. That's, to me, honestly, sometimes, and I don't want to either sometimes, but I've also seen it where, you know, if you give kids their way too many years in a row, too long, good luck kind of trying to bring them in or reel them in. So have the difficult conversations with your family. If your kids are old enough to actually have like a decent input onto what to eat, and it's not pizza and nachos all the time, incorporate them. Like, if you're a parent listening to this and you want to start meal prepping for your family, involve the kids. If they're old enough to have an actual like solid opinion, not a 5-year-old's opinion, that'll make it easier. That's a lower barrier right there. So don't make up excuses. Don't say, oh, it's too hard. You need to do some hard. And that's the bottom line. Ruby said a few times now, what brought you to this point right now was a whole bunch of easy. And it might not feel that way because you probably don't feel very good about yourself. But what brought you here was the path of least resistance most of the time. Yes, you tried a bunch of different diets and they were hard for maybe a week or two. But then you went to the path of least resistance. You didn't tackle things head on. You didn't really change your habits. And now you're at this point now. If you are in a space where you want to get in shape, lose fat, whatever it is, before you jump into something, ask yourself if you're ready to do the hard stuff. If you're honestly not, don't start yet, because you might not be ready yet, because you're going to have to go through some hard. I've had clients who weren't ready for the hard. A month or 2 months in, it wasn't for them. They're like, I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. You know what? That's, if you decide that, you decide that, but you have to be honest with yourself. If you're going to do something, it's going to be difficult. But it needs to be difficult because you've never been there before. It will get somewhere, right?
Because it's different. But something you need to get really clear on as well is, what exactly is hard? What is your definition of what you need to do?
Fair.
A lot of people don't know what they need to do. So their idea of what they need to do is actually freaking hard, because you want Like, you're looking at these people on social media saying, that's what I need to do, but that's not what you need to do. They've been doing it for years. You need to be realistic with what it is that you need to do as your startup and make it as bloody simple as possible. So it's not actually hard. It's medium hard. Like, think about friggin' salsa. You don't want it mild and you don't want it spicy. You want it the one in between. That is what you want your habits to be. And I don't know where salsa came from, but that's what I'm going to start using
now. I like that, because mild salsa is gross.
mild salsa, you don't want to use. The strong one, you don't want to use. You want to find the middle where it's not too spicy. Like, almost like Goldilocks. It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
You
want that middle option. But something else you said with that as well. Crap, what was it? It was, the hard thing. Cost of inaction, because you're okay, it might be hard, but what's the cost of you not doing it? Because that's a hell of a lot more hard.
Yeah, and what's the alternative to you not doing the hard stuff? You're going to stay the exact same place you're at or get worse. I'm not trying to be a dick, but it's usually the truth, right? If someone's not willing to do the hard stuff, 6 months will roll by, and they're going to be in the exact same spot that they're in.
But we don't want to actually admit that stuff, because it's comfortable, and that's the hard thing. And I'm saying it as it is, because I was there and I didn't even want to admit it, because I'm like, no, I'm cool. I can handle this. I'm just going to work harder. I'm just going to keep going and see if it actually starts to work by working harder or by doing this. And we start to implement all these other things instead of just doing the hard thing we need to do. It's like, instead of doing that one hard thing we need to do, it's almost like the cravings thing. It's like we crave chocolate, and instead of just eating the freaking chocolate, we eat like 1,000 calories in that whole sitting, because we make all these other things to make us not have the chocolate, and then we still have the chocolate in the end because that's what we want. It's the same thing. I don't know why I use that, but that's the thing.
No, that makes sense.
The same thing. It's like you know the hard thing you're going to need to do anyway to get to where you want to be, but you keep avoiding it because you keep wanting to make all of these other hacks around it. But you don't just do the one thing you need to do that one time and get it over and done with the less pain, which the less pain here is less calories, less of a blowout.
Yeah.
So that would probably be a really good way to sum this up, because that's the way that a lot of people go through their life. They go through it in, let's just take all these other paths versus the one that's actually going to get us there, because all the other paths, they seem doable. They're really quick. They promise this, they promise that. There's a before and after attached to it. I can just get this over and done with, and then I can.
Holy, you just cracked another can of worms. Holy smokes.
All right, take this one. I'm just gonna get this over and done with, and then I can go back to the kids.
Oh my god, you need to make, if you don't make an Instagram post on this, or we need to collaborate on a post on this, because that's a whole another can of worms. I just need to get this done with so I can go back to, no, that's not that shit ain't, that ain't it, that's not it at all.
Wow, like, that's actually something for you guys to marinate on, seriously. Like,
yeah.
Pause, stop, think. I need to just do this, get this done with, and then go back to the kids. What do you think the outcome is going to be with anything in life? Like, anything. Another example, I just need to get through this tough thing and push through this really hard program, this 5 days a week feeling like shit, this diet, whatever it is, and then I can go back to having some balance in my life again. Like, but the thing is, a lot of people don't realize what's actually on the other side and what physiological changes happen. Now you're craving all the foods. Now it's a free-for-all. It doesn't seem that way until it's that way. You think it's not going to happen to me until it happens to you. But then you just go on something else really fast. It's like, oh, no, I just lost it. And let's just do this again. And then I can go back to where I want to go. It'll be better this time.
I love it and I hate it at the same time. You're so right. And I've had people tell me that. And I'm like, go ahead. I'm not going to change your mind. If you want to go back and do that thing again, I guess I'll talk to you again in six to 12 months, because it didn't work last time. What's going to make it work this time?
I love this so much. I think that's a really,
I got to leave you there. Yeah.
I think that's a really good way to end this podcast. I'm going to put John, Greek last name inserted here. I'm gonna put his Instagram.
Awesome. I love that. That's great.
I'm gonna put his Instagram into the show notes below. And I actually want you guys to inbox us, like, actually shoot us a message, and like, don't feel ashamed, don't feel guilty, don't feel whatever it is. Shoot us a message and let us know what you think about that in terms of whether you've done that before, whether you've thought that before, whether my question then just gave you goosebumps, just made you stop and think, just made you have an aha moment. Because we both want to know. We want to know. We actually want to know, because it, you aren't alone. I'm telling you that you aren't alone. And John is nodding his head, and I'm nodding every single digit, finger, and head, if you watch the video, which made it look like I was playing a trumpet. But honestly, you aren't alone. Stop thinking you're alone in your struggles just because other people don't voice them. And let us know. You'll hear me on the next podcast. You'll find John Greek last name in the show notes below, and you will hear us later.
Thanks, Ruby.